Hi, you're listening to Secrets for an Inspirational Life with me, your host, Mimi Novick. I'm so happy and thrilled to have you here with me. I have created this series for all of us so we can change our world together and live a more holistic and balanced life. Together, we will share lots of inspiring stories from all walks of life, speak with leading experts, enjoy healthy living ideas, explore music and subjects that inspire each other to always have hope. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate all of you. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Secrets for an Inspirational Life. How are you today? Have you been looking after yourselves? This is one of the most important things that I think we all miss out at times. And it's something I think that applies to all of us human beings on this planet, is that we are so busy in what we are doing that actually, are we really doing anything? I often ask myself this. And one of the most important things is to look after our dear soul, something that's overlooked. And although we may not realize the importance of it, it has a huge importance and a very, very divine reason for existing. And I think my belief, in any case, is that we are on this planet to fulfill that purpose, that soul purpose. And everybody we meet is somehow helping us along the journey. Maybe we have met them before in another life, on another plane. I don't know. But we certainly are connected intrinsically to every single person that enters our life. And with that in mind, I would like to say how absolutely delighted, happy, and joyful I am, really, truly, to welcome this lovely lady today, who I have on the episode, and that is the ever lovely and knowledgeable Elizabeth Kipp. Elizabeth is a stress management and historical trauma specialist who uses trauma-trained and yoga-informed addiction recovery coaching, ancestral clearing, compassionate inquiry, and yoga to help people with their healing. Elizabeth healed from over 40 years of chronic pain, including anxiety, panic attacks, and addiction. Her vocation is in guiding others to unleash their healing power, find freedom from suffering, and to live a thriving life. She is also the best-selling author of The Way Through Chronic Pain, Tools to Reclaim Your Healing Power. This is just a small amount about the wonderful work of Elizabeth, which I know she's going to share with us today. And today she's going to share her wonderful life journey. Welcome, dear Elizabeth.
Well, thank you so much, Mimi. I'm thrilled to be here with you.
Oh,
thank you for that lovely introduction.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Elizabeth. And I am absolutely joyful to have you here today. And you are all the way, please tell the listeners, where are you from?
Yes, I'm right in the center of the United States in Lawrence, Kansas.
Wow. I get very, very excited when people come over from all different countries. And me and Elizabeth were talking actually earlier, it's this connection that we all have. It doesn't matter where we are on the planet, but something aligns the stars for us to meet at any given time.
It certainly does. And and I have a background, having been trained as a research scientist, and I'm going to say something that they didn't teach me there, which was I don't actually believe I only believe in synchronicity now. I don't believe in things that just happen by her happenstance. I just don't think it happens that way anymore. That's just me and my experience. That's not very scientific, but that's what I feel in my bones. It, things just happen. It's kind of like, if I'm not seeing the synchronicity, for me, it's kind of like I need to change my perspective and then I'll see it.
Yes. Yeah. Synchronicity. What a beautiful world. And we live in such an amazing world, but also the synchronicity of hearts and souls and vibrations that are happening in this time is something that I don't feel has ever been experienced on Earth before.
Wow. Well, I would have to say yes, but you know, we're in the now.
Yeah.
And there's only the now. And remember, well, I'm a Star Trek fan, and one of the kind of themes of Star Trek is infinite diversity and infinite combinations. And when you're dealing with that, then absolutely every moment is unique.
Yes. Yeah. You're the second person actually this week to mention Star Trek to me.
Okay, there you go.
Well, that's not a coincidence.
There were an awful lot of beautiful, wise themes in Star Trek that I think certainly helped center me in what I kind of perceived in the chaos of the world. It really helped center me.
Interesting. I watched it as a child, and I think it was just one of those things that you watch because there's nothing else on the TV at the time. And children are like that, I feel, where anything will do. But I don't know why I watched it, because if now someone was to ask me, what was it about? I don't have a clue. So now that you have said to me, well, Star Trek, and someone else mentioned it to me, I think it was the other day, actually, I'm actually going to go back and have a look what it was all about.
Oh. Yeah.
So thank you for that inspiration with Star Trek.
Oh, you're welcome. I really felt like it was very, it had a turn instead of, it didn't worry. They were all different colors of beings and different nationalities and different people and beings came from different places, and they're all working together. And so right. it was like this. Oh, there wasn't even a money issue like that. That problem had been solved, which was interesting. They didn't know how they did that. They just kind of skipped to the end of that part. But it seemed to me very heart-centered. They were trying to solve the problem from a sense of we're all one. And there was wars and stuff, but that was this misunderstanding around the sense of separation that we all suffer. So they really put a light on the problems that we have with this sense of separation versus oneness. That's just one viewpoint on what I thought it was about.
Well, definitely something that I'm going to look into and see, because that sounds actually a very, very profound statement. So it's something that I will definitely look into. Now, Elizabeth, you have done many things. You do many things that are completely fascinating for myself, and I know for the listeners out there it will be tonight. How did all this begin? Let's go back. How did your work, your vocation, let's get it right, how did it begin? How did you know what you were supposed to be doing on this planet?
Oh, great question. I really started out as a plant scientist and an environmental studies. I was planning on being at doing environmental impact statements and maybe hoping to shape policy around environmental policy, right? And I had a broken bone in the base of my spine and the fifth lumbar which I got when I was 14, and I never really understood the impact of that until 7 years later, and then at that point the chiropractors were able to take kind of help with the instability. And so when I went into college and, you know, started this track of study, and I got 6 credits short of finishing my master's in environmental studies here at the University of Kansas, and as you know, with a focus on ecology and plant science. And my back, this bone became quite unstable, and I had to, and that just changed everything. I started on a course of 4 different surgeries and a lot of medication, and my world was just, I was having so much pain. And so the pain was so massive, it really pulled my attention away from everything but it in many ways. I finally healed from that, but I was on that medication for 31 years. I was on opiate or benzo and benzodiazepine medication for 31 years. And the last 15 years was fentanyl. And the doctors I was working with didn't have, they didn't understand the nature of chronic pain at that point. And their answer was, you're not going to get better. You're going to have chronic pain for the rest of your life. Here are your opiates and your benzodiazepines. This is the best we have, you know, learn to live with it. And I had a, now let's just back up for a minute. I was talking about chronic pain, a physical pain, but let's just define chronic pain for a moment. Chronic pain is any pain that's felt 15 days out of 30 for 3 months or more. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, it doesn't matter. It can even be financial. It all sends the same signal to the brain. It hurts. So the brain can't distinguish between a broken bone, a broken heart, a problem with a bank account, right? I can barely make it from paycheck to paycheck, that kind of stress. The brain can't tell the difference. It all sends the same signal. It hurts to the brain. And the reason why that's an issue is because we're made with this thing called a stress response, which kind of goes on and off depending on whether we're stressed or under threat. When we're stressed or under threat, the stress response goes on. We have certain behaviors we do and a physiology that comes with it that addresses the threat or the stress, and then the stress response goes back in the off position. In chronic pain, the stress response gets stuck in the on position, and it never stops. And we're not made our biology, our physiology as creatures, we're not made for chronic stress. It just, the system's not made for that. So it's very corrosive to the body, the things that happen. So that's a very intense place to live. And anyway, the doctor said I wouldn't get better. Because I had been trained as a research scientist, I kind of knew how to look at a problem, or I've been trained in a certain way to look at a problem in a certain way. And I listened to them and I thought, okay, you're actually telling me, first of all, you're telling me I'm not going to heal. And you're operating in a scientific paradigm, which paradigms shift. We know this. So, let's admit that. And the other thing is they said, you will not heal, right? And science, again, medicine operates in a scientific framework. Science is not about facts, it's about probabilities. They didn't say you might, they said you won't, right? So they made a declaration. And I knew they'd made an error when they made that statement. So I was able to kind of see, they're telling me more about the limitations of the model they're working under than they are about the body's ability to heal. And so I went on a big journey to find a solution. And I looked into a lot of different energy healing techniques. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago, I found Dr. Peter Preskop, who wrote the book, Conquer Chronic Pain, an Innovative Mind Body Approach. He had a pain management program, and I went in there. He helped me detox off all the medication, and he really understood the nature of chronic pain and how it changes the brain. And he brought in modalities that help heal those changes. Opiates and benzodiazepines do not heal those changes. They just kind of make it worse. So he brought in modalities that heal those things. And that's how I got on this journey. And I met thousands of chronic pain sufferers while I was on this journey in all different kinds of settings. And because of, you know, my own journey to heal. And when I went into that program of 40 years of chronic pain, and I walked out 52 days later with no pain, which was astonishing to me. But here's the thing. It wasn't like I'm so special. He had a 94% success rate. And he was doing, yes, he was a doctor, and he had a lot of, he was board certified in a bunch of different things. Yeah. But I remember he passed away in 2016, but I remember speaking with him. I was mentoring with him before he passed away. And he said, well, you know, you don't have to have a medical degree to teach this stuff. Now, I don't do the doctory things. I can't diagnose and I can't do any of that. But I'm a really great coach in the space of someone trying to heal from chronic pain. The doc, an integrated doctor can really help them set them up, and you need a trauma therapist to help with the any kind of a psychological trauma that they've got, physical stuff that's in the body, and then I come in to help them with a daily practice to really help them retrain the nervous system, the mind body spirit system, to learn how to live in a new way. Because chronic pain changes the whole brain, so it changes the whole nervous system. It changes the way we are in the world. So to heal, we have to bring changes. We have to bring modalities that heal those changes, and that's what I do.
Absolutely incredible. I've read about what you do, and I have to say to everybody out there, it's fascinating and so much needed now. You are so needed in these times, in these turbulent times, where trauma is so heightened, anxiety, panic, fear, uncertainty, all of it swirls around the world. Where do we begin? Where do we begin with this?
Yeah, well, you've described what we would call, from a neurophysiology point of view, you've described a dysregulated nervous system. So if we're in fear all the time, panic, all that you just mentioned, all those adjectives, we're busy protecting. We're busy protecting ourselves. And we actually in that space, we have a lot of difficulty connecting authentically because we're so busy protecting. And like, what kind of mask do I have to put on in this moment to keep myself safe, that we're actually unable to connect to ourselves authentically, to others authentically. And we really lose our connection to the all that is, to the soul. Right, when we're in protection, but because all the nervous system knows, and really the brain at that point is like, I got to fight, I got to run, I've got to people please, I've got to appease, yeah. I've got to shut down. Those are the only options. There's no authentic connection in there. So you talk about the importance of, you talked about in the beginning of the program, as you introduced the program, you talked about this connection to the soul. Well, you can't even hear your soul when you're under fight, flight, when you're in this dysregulated condition. You can't hear the soul. It's not possible.
This is a profound statement, and it's a gem that you have just stated. Elizabeth. And I think this is, you know, like part of the holy grail of our souls, where if we are in fear, we lose connection to the soul. If we lose connection to the soul, we've lost everything.
Well, we've certainly lost, but like I said, we're only in, I need this organism to survive. That's where we are. We're only in that mode. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing is we can't think straight in that space. Not only can we not connect authentically, we can't think clearly. We don't have access to that part of the brain. And we can't learn from each other. So it's really, really important that we understand, well, what does dysregulation look like in a person? And what does it feel like in me? And when I feel it, what do I do about it? Right? I'm not saying that we will be dysregulated. That's not what I'm after. What I'm looking for is to widen our window of tolerance, so that when we experience dysregulating forces in the world, we feel that, and we're not taken down by it. We simply feel it, and we come back to center more quickly, because we're going to get triggered in the environment. The question is, when we get triggered, how quickly, how big is that experience, and how quickly can we come back to center?
And how do you do it? How do you do it with the people that you are in contact with? What are the methods that you use?
Well, there's actually a hierarchy to healing that I just kind of brought in here. First is we regulate the nervous system. We have to look at the nervous system first. Then you want to bring in a sense of connection, which is you and I right now, even though we can't see each other, it doesn't matter. Your nervous system and my nervous system are actually talking to one another. And we're assessing constantly, are we safe? And we're reporting, oh, yes, this is a safe place. So we're actually able to relax in one another's presence and learn from one another. And we're actually helping each other's nervous systems regulate through this safe conversation. So safety, super important. If we're protecting, we're not feeling safe. So we want to bring in modalities that help calm the nervous system, breath work is really important. You would do just a very, very basic breath work would be noticing that you take a long inhale, a long exhale, with that exhale as long or up to twice as long as the inhale. Exhale as long or up to twice as long as the inhale, so that your nervous system then gets the signal, I'm safe after all. So we have to start in the nervous system. Mm-hmm. Then you want a sense of connection back to your authentic self, to other people. And once you have that sense of belonging back, then you can learn. So when I work with clients, the first thing I do is assess the state of their nervous system. And usually they come in, if it's a new client, they don't know me So they're usually a little tense. And so I take them through 3 minutes of this long, deep, kind of very conscious, measured breath work. And you can see their nervous system just calm down. Then we can start having a conversation, because then they feel safe enough. And I ask them about their story. I listen to that for about 5 minutes so that they feel heard and validated. I try not to spend too much time on their story, because you don't want them identifying with it. You want to hear the story, but a lot of, in chronic pain anyway, lots of people tend to be so caught up in the story that they identify with it. Right? So it's like, I'm having a chronic pain experience and I have these thoughts, but I'm not my chronic pain and I'm not these thoughts. You see the difference?
Yes. Right?
And in the chronic pain experience, it's so, can be so, I don't know what else to say other than overwhelming, but it can do that to us, where we actually begin to identify with the pain, ourselves as pain, rather than who we really are, which is just experiencing it. We're watching it, or we're noticing it, but it's not who we truly are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even as you make that, as you're saying that, it's a sense of liberation that you are able to somehow detach from that pain.
That's a huge piece. Yeah, for me, that was huge. Mm. And it started with Dr. Prescott saying, I remember him saying this. He said, don't judge the moment. And I had just walked into his classroom. Actually, I'd been wheeled into the classroom because I was so weak at that point. First day, and I was like, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just sitting here minding my own business, is what I had in my head. So you can see my attitude was this protective, don't mess with me, right? I'm just saying, that's very typical chronic pain. But he had the room, and I was here to listen to him, and was quiet and polite. And he got about three more sentences into that, and I realized he was talking about my pain. And I went, oh my God. I've been judging my pain as bad my whole life. So I had been in a war with my pain. But let's look at it from a different perspective. What if pain was just simply information? Not good or bad, just information in the system to help guide us in one direction or another. That's completely different than, as a child, as a child, when any of us would get, hurt in any way, and we'd yell out or whatever, somebody's got hurt or whatever, what would happen? The adults would rush into the area and they would do whatever they could to help us stop the pain as fast as possible.
Mm.
And what's the subtext of that? We're at war with pain. Pain is bad. Not information, it's pain is bad, right? That's the meaning I made of it anyway, and lots of us do. So don't judge the moment was, you're having this experience of a lot of sensation in the body. It's information in the system. Don't judge it as good or bad. It just is. That was another huge piece. And that was another part of, I'm having this experience, but it's not who I am. Those two pieces together were probably the most important healing bits, plus the ancestral clearing work I did, were some of the most important healing pieces in my journey, and that I work with other people on. Yeah.
Wow. I'm speechless, really, because, Elizabeth, this is such a deep, deep ocean that we have entered in tonight, and especially the one with trauma and ancestral clearing.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about that, and the pain is a whole nother subject. We could be here for 10 hours, and I would love to talk to you about this, and maybe even we could do some exercises if you're agreeable to come back again. That would be wonderful to help people out there, because it's something that I see in such desperation, where everywhere I look with clients of mine, with people around me, everyone is so desperate. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said to me, I don't want to see people anymore. I've had enough. I can't take them. And that is more and more occurring when I'm talking to people, that they've had enough. They don't want to talk to people. They don't want to be around people. It's too much for them. How did we get to that place?
Oh, well, that's a huge question. but I can speak from a historical trauma space and maybe speak to, I don't know, the energy that we seem to be experiencing these days, although I'm not really an energy expert. I'm just going to tell you what my experience is.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what Einstein said? He said a lot of things. He said this: you can't solve a problem at the level of consciousness that created it.
Yes, yes. Very good quote.
Yeah. So trauma is let's just define trauma for a moment, put that into the field. Trauma, Gabor Mate puts it so beautifully. Trauma isn't what happens to you. It's what happens inside of you because of what happened to you. And trauma is when you're alone with the hurt. It's not the hurt so much. It's when you're alone with it.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, that means let me give you an example. I was just talking with somebody about shame today. A woman who does work around shame, which is the food of addiction. And I was doing some writing for her because I want to get in touch with her. And shame is a big part of trauma, and it's a big part of addiction. So I'll use an example like that, how it disconnects us.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I made a mistake, and I'm with someone, and they've asked me to do something, and I make a mistake, and they get very agitated, and they yell at me, and they say, you know, how could you do that, and you know, on and on and on, and not only do they do that, they do it in public. So that would not be constructive. That is not safe, by the way. Somebody mm-hmm. loses their temper, right? Now, in that case, what I tend to do in that, it's kind of historically, I wouldn't do it now, but in that historically, my behavior used to be I would freeze. You just go into freeze mode. Now, that's dysregulation. And that's protection and disconnection, right? That's what that response is when you just freeze. So what's happened there? What's happened there is I've made meaning of the communication that person. So that person said something to me and I made meaning of it, right? So mm-hmm. remember, the basic rules of communication are the sender gives a message, but the sender doesn't make the meaning. It's the person receiving the message that makes the meaning of the message. Okay?
So yeah.
We have to have conscious, careful communication so that we make sure we're hearing one another. So that person gets mad at me and I hear that and I say to myself, and I have this freeze response, and I say to myself, not only did I make a mistake, but the reaction of this person is so great. Clearly, I am the mistake. So not just I've uh-huh. made a mistake, I am a mistake. And that is such a burden. I'm not going to talk to anybody about that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get myself out of this freeze mode, and I'm going to try and fix things enough so that the person stops yelling at me. But the shame part is not going to be part of that conversation. It's going to be, I'm going to try and fix the error, you know, or I might ask the question to this person, what can I do to, you know, to fix this problem that I just made? But that shame piece, that would never get addressed. Just in general society,
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
in my life, right? So there we're now alone with that hurt. And the hurt was not that I made a mistake. The biggest hurt there, the trauma, is that I am the mistake. And now I don't even like myself. I don't like the other person. I don't like what I did. I don't like myself. And now I'm really disconnected. That's what I mean by we're alone with the hurt, because I'm not going to talk to anybody about that until years later, maybe when I go, wow, a therapist could help me with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, a trauma therapist can help me with that. right? Or maybe I've got a good friend, or maybe I've got a counselor. If I was in recovery, I'd go to my sponsor, maybe. And maybe I do have someone I can talk with. But in my life, when stuff like that happened as a child, I didn't go to anybody. I just lived with the hurt. Right. And so I ended up holding that inside. Right. So trauma is when we're alone with the hurt. And there's dysregulation there, and there's disconnection, and there's disassociation, and we become isolated. And so historically, when we get settled, let's just change that into a different kind of slightly different kind of scenario, into a trauma where there's a disagreement in a family, between two parts of a family, and they don't know how to solve the problem. So they just have this vendetta. There's like this vendetta that starts between the two. And I clear this stuff in ancestral clearing fairly frequently. And so there's this resentment that starts between two parts of a family. And that energy, if left unchecked, just stay with me now, can actually lead to war. Do you feel that? The jump, yeah, that I made? Yeah. So this is why it's so important for us to understand what trauma is, that it happens in an unsafe relationship, and that in order to heal it, we have to be in safe relationship. And we have to begin with ourselves. So when I see the amount of trauma out there, the cycle replaying itself with wars, with people just walking around dysregulated and not knowing how to ground themselves. You know, there's just a lot of unresolved trauma out there. A lot of people walking around with wounds that they're alone with. And they're not, they may not know how, or they may not have available to them safe relationship where they can heal.
Very true. Very true, Elizabeth. And you see it more and more, where it seems that the whole of the earth is traumatized in some way.
Yeah, I actually did a group. I'll probably do another one next month in January. I did in November. I did a group clearing online for ancestral clearing around family conflict and war. Families that had been to war, right? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, it was a small gathering. We had about 16 people come in. And it was very interesting because there was a lot of reactivity in the room. And the idea with ancestral clearing is to meet the client wherever they are energetically, and help them kind of feel where it is. And there's a bunch of different techniques that we use to kind of help them release that. But it was very interesting because we had a real variety pack of people that had a lot of charge, that trigger, you might call it triggers, a lot of charge in the body around war. And it was a very powerful, a very humbling space to kind of offer that for people, because it was so needed. And some people couldn't handle it. Some people were like, I got halfway through the clearing work, and they was like, yeah, this is too much for me. And that's fine. That's where they were, right? So our job really is to attune to whatever's happening in the moment and allow them to have the space and be who they are and feel safe with themselves, instead of worrying about, well, if I react like this, I'm going to get in trouble or I'm going to be bad. Right. So part of our job is to help them process the stuff in their emotions and stuff, and to help them do that in a safe environment where they feel seen and heard and validated, and then they heal.
And with this ancestral clearing, Elizabeth, tell us a little bit more what that actually means.
Well, ancestral clearing is an actual a process that was pioneered by Howard Wills and further developed and taught by John Newton of Health Beyond Belief. And I'm one of his practitioners. He trains people in this work, and anybody can do this work, by the way. Well, what we do in that particular, this is a particular approach at clearing ancestral burden. What we do in this space is we're actually, we're offering up that which no longer serves us to, to God, Creator, to the infinite, whatever you want to call that energy that created all of this. Because if we could have cleared our stuff, we would have already. We can't do it ourselves. We need help. And so we as a practitioner, I'm really attuning. He says hold space, but I kind of feel like it's more attuning. I'm not sure I'm holding anything particular, but I'm attuning to the client, and we can do a version of it on this. It'd take me a couple of minutes. I can do a version, one method for your listeners so they have a sense of what it's like.
Yes, because, yes, absolutely. You know, let's do it.
Yeah. So we use the word forgive to you to mean, it's not what everybody thinks it means, that maybe we use it to mean we're offering up that which no longer serves us. So we say, please help us forgive and release that which no longer serves us. We use that word forgive. And all we need to do really in this particular method that I'm going to share with you is everybody who's listening, and the live and the replay are all the same. It's just that we're all past, present, and future are all at one through the present moment. Everyone who's listening, just notice what you feel in the body as far as sensation, where you feel it. Maybe give it a level of intensity, a number from 0 to 10, so you have an idea of how intense it is. And just let these words pass over you. Infinite Creator, all that you are, source of all that is, was, and ever will be. We ask humbly and gratefully that you please help everyone listening to this and all of their relationships, all of their ancestors and all their relationships throughout all space, time, dimension, lives, lifetimes, and incarnations, for all the times you felt let down by life, by family members, by relationships, or by anyone representing the Creator. For any time you felt let down by the Creator in any name or form, or for any time you turned your back on the Creator or felt the Creator turned his back on you, please help you all forgive each other, forgive yourselves, and be at peace with one another and at peace with yourselves. Please and thank you. For all the times you weren't nurtured, loved, supported, and cherished, please help all of you to forgive one another and forgive yourselves. For the times you didn't nurture and support others in the ways they needed. For any time you were out of integrity with another or another out of integrity with you, please help all of you to forgive one another and forgive yourselves. For the highest good, please and thank you. For all war, battle, Holocaust, genocide, persecution, slavery, injustice of any kind, oppression, misuse of power, position, authority, politically, spiritually, medically, or in any other way, please help everyone involved to forgive one another and forgive yourselves now and forever. Please and thank you. For all hurts and wrongs, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, sexual, financial, and thought, word, or action, all of you to another and another to all of you, please help all of you to forgive one another and forgive yourselves. Please and thank you. For all suicide, murder, rape, abortion, infidelity, miscarriage, infertility, all of it, everyone involved directly or indirectly. For all that happened and all you made it mean, for any time anyone felt the energy of any of these in the womb, please help you all forgive one another and forgive yourselves, please and thank you. For all empathic hurts and wrongs, times you took on others' unresolved issues or shouldered their burdens, for all adversity, struggle, and hardship you experienced, especially as children, please help all of you to forgive one another and forgive yourselves, forgive all family members and relationships. Please and thank you, Infinite Creator, all that you are. Please and thank you for all the times you weren't shown or encouraged to stand up, speak up, and do things your way. For the times you didn't feel safe to say no when needed, and for any time others didn't heed your no when you said it. Please help you forgive your parents, family members, and relationships. Help them all forgive you. Help you all forgive yourselves, please, and thank you. For all hurts and wrongs and anything we could have inferred had it served the highest good, we infer it now. For all that happened and all you made it mean, everything that led up to and arose from hurts, wrongs, limitation, and burden of any time that's serving the highest good, we ask humbly and gratefully, please help everyone involved directly or indirectly to forgive your parents, grandparents, siblings, children, and grandchildren. Help them all forgive you. Help you all forgive yourselves, please, and thank you. Help you forgive your lovers, lovers' lovers, spouses, spouses' lovers, parents' lovers. Help them all forgive you. Help you all forgive yourselves, please, and thank you. Your whole family and lineage. Help you forgive your cousins, aunts, uncles, step-in-laws, hidden, secret, adopted, foster, and all other significant people, beings, family relationships, role models, and authority figures. Help you all forgive each other. Help you all forgive yourselves, please, and thank you. Please help you all release all weight, pain, burden, death, debt, negativity, spells, hexes, curses, psychic wounds, thrown or received, white magic, black magic, real or imagined. Help everyone affected here, directly or indirectly, to experience the light in each other and themselves now and forever. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. And take a nice big breath in and let it out and notice how that feels in the body.
That is so beautiful.
Powerful.
I felt, do you know what I felt?
What did you feel?
Yeah, I want to share this with you. I felt this, and thank you so much for doing this, because it was really something infinite. I felt like a huge weight had been lifted and was hovering. And as you were saying, all of it was sort of disappearing into this energetic field and leaving and leaving and leaving and leaving and gone.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's
so that's, powerful.
We get that a lot, the lightness. We feel lighter afterwards. Can you imagine if we did a process? I mean, I'm kind of going out on a limb here, but can you imagine if we did a process like that between the policymakers of warring states, if we did a process like that and helped them clear all their burden, and then they can have a negotiation, how it might be different?
It would be a different world, for sure.
A different world, yeah.
A different world, for sure. But it is enough that you have now so beautifully recited that. And it's, I feel so different. And I'm not just saying that, and I don't just say things. If I don't mean them, I won't say them. But it really felt like a burden had lifted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you experienced that. And it's pretty common. It's very unusual, actually, for people not to be affected like that in this practice, which is, I mean, like, I have a science background, and this is all anecdotal. This, there's no actual science that's been done on this. We understand epigenetic energies and stuff, and
yes,
how they're passed down from one generation to the next. But as far as ancestral clearing per se, the scientific studies haven't been done. However, my science mind, I want to know the mechanism, because the change is so, if we just see the changes, right? We see it all the time. And we're kind of like, well, how did that work exactly? that's where
well, for me, it was enough that something happened. It was a moment where everything somehow was so still, and it made you be, as we spoke earlier, in that moment. It was only the moment that mattered. There was nothing else, just the moment. And everything that had gone on before had left.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, as you were speaking, these powerful words is, and I wanted to ask you this, especially when I know that you do this ancestral clearing, is I'm sure people out there also will be interested, because I know a lot of my listeners are very, very interested in all these things that had happened in past lives and with their families and things. Mm-hmm. Is it really possible, Elizabeth, that all the trauma that we suffer in this life could be actually part of a distant trauma from our ancestors, that some things that they have done, that things that have happened to them, has actually gone into different lifetimes of ourselves?
Oh, yes, there's no question about that at this point. You know, spiritual teachers have been telling us for thousands of years, we come into this life with the gift and the burdens of our ancestors. Science has actually been able to get some measurements on that. We just haven't done it. We haven't done the specific studies on ancestral clearing, but people have done work on intergenerational trauma and how that moves from one generation to another. Rachel Yehuda has done, and her team has done amazing work with looking at that trauma from the Holocaust versus the experience of, well, really, cortisol levels of survivors of the Holocaust and their descendants versus families that were not in the Holocaust, and seeing differences in cortisol levels. And cortisol is a stress hormone. So and she continues to do this amazing work. She's not the only one, but her work is quite, I just feel like it's really profound. And I'm grateful that she's in that space. And it helps us kind of begin to understand some of the forces at play. Another thing that you can think about is when you and I were eggs in our moms,
uh-huh.
Our mother was actually in our grandmother's womb. So when our mother was in our grandmother's womb, when our mother was 4 months, when our grandmother was 4 months pregnant with our mother, our egg developed, our egg. So we're okay. Sharing space with both our mother and our grandmother at that time.
Let me think about that for a moment. Hold on. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, I know. I didn't describe it very well.
Right. So that I understand it. When, for example, when our mothers were in the womb of our grandmothers,
mm-hmm.
our mother's egg that was going to produce us was already in her womb. Is that correct?
It grows at about 4 months, develops at about 4 months. As our mother was about 4 months old in her mother's womb.
Well, that's mind-blowing.
I know. So we're sharing space energetically with them. Now let's take that one step further.
Mm-hmm.
Our grandmother was in our grandmother's womb.
Hold on. Just so that I understand it. Our grandmother was in
In our grandmother's womb, we shared space with our grandmother. Our grandmother shared space with her grandmother, just like we shared space with our grandmother.
Okay, yes, correct.
So we're linked that way. we're all sharing space and time. Just it kind of gets big.
But are we? Hold on now. Hold on. Are we, like you and I, were we at any point connected to our great grandmother?
Through our grandmother, we were. Just energetically speaking.
Yes. Yeah.
You see? And so if we're looking at it from the quantum field, and the quantum mechanics tells us that there's really the past, present, and future we access that through the present moment. And that's why that's really an explanation for why ancestral clearing works, because we're using the present moment, which can access the past and the present, the past and the future all at once through the present moment. So this is
just,
yeah,
absolutely. To encompass this information now changes your whole perspective on life.
I know. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to think about this now. So we are so interconnected with all of our ancestors. And so do you think, Elizabeth, that things that have happened way back that were unresolved through destiny, I don't know whether you believe in destiny, is maybe our job to fulfill something, to complete a circle of healing for all the ancestors that were before us?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say I'll say it from this point of view, because I haven't really brought that piece in. Remember, we talked about we come into this world with the gifts and the burdens of our ancestors.
Yes.
About it from an evolutionary biology point of view. Our information comes from the past generation into the current generation as information, so that we have the information we need to survive in the environment into which we're born. And the events that happened to our parents and grandparents and on before us, depending on how often they happened and kind of how they get repeated, that information hopefully is going to be relevant to the time I'm living in, so that I can reproduce. I have a son. I can reproduce the next generation. When you think about it in terms like that, it's information in the system. What we do with the information is our soul journey. Now you're talking about soul work, right? I'm mixing there's the reproductive part, but then there's also which is part of it, but there's also the soul work. And my feeling, having been doing this ancestral clearing work for 10 years now, my feeling is that the people that are drawn to this work, certainly me and a lot of the practitioners that I know, it seems like that our job is to help clear the unresolved stuff in our past lineage. That's our job. That's why we came on the planet, right? That's just part of it.
I'm trying to understand. Okay, so people that have a job of healing others, in fact, actually are healing not only others, being a vessel for the ultimate healer, but they are healing the whole ancestral line.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, that's what you got it. That's what I'm saying through the through the quantum field. This work, healing work, is done in the present moment. So when we're in the present moment, we're accessing past, present, and future. So we're affecting, we're helping to heal the ancestors, and we're also affecting the descendants. we're affecting the timeline in both directions. Now that's, that's quantum physics level stuff, but it's hard really even for
Well, I could jump for joy. It's fantastic.
I think it is.
It's absolutely fantastic. And What came to mind is I read somewhere about, listen to this, tell me what do you think about this. So I read somewhere the other week that people that go on to the other world, when they leave this life, the sincere prayers, whatever your beliefs are, it doesn't really matter. You know, whatever anyone believes, they're free to choose and to believe whatever they like. But when we are praying, we can reach the other people in the other spheres. And there was a story that I read where there was a man, and he had led a very difficult life, and he sort of a colorful life, let's put it that way. And they were all gathered in this place, let's say the afterlife. And all of a sudden, his whole state in the other life changed, and there was a light penetrating. And they asked him, how is it that you have led such a life? You have told us that wasn't such a good life, but here you are elevating, you're elevating with this light. And he said, well, this is because my daughter is praying for me. And I'm thinking, can we therefore affect people that have left this world as well?
Well, let's put it this way. I love that you brought that in. Let's put it this way. Why would we limit the infinite? Because it's infinite.
Why would we limit the infinite? And what a line.
And we are an aspect of the infinite in finite space.
Yes.
So it doesn't surprise me that we would be able to that there would be access between one world and the next. And in quantum physics, they call something like that spooky action. Which is and there's just kind of like this entanglement thing. So there's like we're connected in a way. And so that I know Richard Ward did explain this so beautifully. He said, love over here affects love over there. Yes. And so hate over here affects hate over there. Mm. And he was talking really pretty much in this 3D world, but you know, you're bringing in an infinite aspect. And I'm saying, why can't we, you know, why wouldn't you be able to access multidimensional?
Yes.
I mean, you're calling in the infinite, and we're part of the infinite, and why? I just don't see why there would be a limitation.
Yeah. This is the thing, the limitation. I think that when we feel as beings, as souls, limited and constricted by this world, what you talk about, Elizabeth, sets us free. So there is no time, there is no space.
Yeah, from the point of the infinite, we're beyond time. It's that internal part of us, the soul, it lives beyond space. That finite part of us, that part of us is we're in time and space, but the eternal part of us is beyond time and space. Yeah, so we live in both worlds. We live in this paradoxical existence when we're on 3D Earth.
Exactly. So if we are now living in this world, and this is only one ray of us, for example, but the other rays of our totality of actually, the essence of us is everywhere, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
We're not bound by anything. So if we could tap into that, because we know how, we've just forgotten, I'm sure of it. If we could tap into that, imagine what a difference we could make.
Well, here you're solving the problem. Here you put your thumb right on the problem. Remember we talked about Einstein, you can't solve the problem at the level of consciousness that created it in the first place. If we could get out of the consciousness of separation and into the consciousness of wholeness and understanding where we really are all connected as one, you know, how that would be completely different. That would just change everything. If people got it in their bones, not just as an intellectual understanding, but got it deep in their bones, actually felt it as a reality, things would change. I mean, it just would change.
What do you think, Elizabeth, about this idea that I have and I believe strongly that we are actually changing? There is a huge change going on with all of us human beings, that is actually propelling us into a different state of being.
100%. I agree with that, because we're constantly changing. We're constantly changing. There's no stagnant. We're constantly changing. We're transforming. You know, we're in constant transformation. Now, the part of us, as far as I understand, the part of us that's constant is our awareness. But everything else is in constant flux. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree.
What you have done tonight really has been such a beautiful moment of really touching upon the infinite for me, with that beautiful prayer and the beautiful conversation has really, really touched my heart in so many ways.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so grateful and honored to be able to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's simply, I knew that this conversation was going to be a very special conversation. You know it. And it really has. I can't even express to you in words what it means, because what I felt with the power behind you and the power of your words, and only really words that come from the heart, the true essence of the heart, can make such a profound difference in someone's life. And you certainly have that ability.
Well, thank you so much. I will also say we're in the field co-creating together, and we're co-creating with the infinite. So we're kind of in a between you and I and the infinite. We've got a trilogy going on here. That's kind of interesting.
It's right? Beautiful. I love it.
The triangle there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. And it's something that was meant to happen. And one of the beautiful words that you mentioned at the beginning, synchronicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for reaching out. I was just thrilled have this conversation, and let me know, you know, if there's anything I can do to support you or your community in the future.
Thank you so much. I will be in touch, Elizabeth, very shortly, because there's some ideas that I want to run past you as we were doing all of this. And it's the joyous feeling, and keep doing whatever you do, because it's wonderful. But I have to get onto the earthly planet now for a moment. For people that want to find out more about you, and also you've written a book, where can they do that?
Oh, yes, you can find me at my website. Find my book there, too. I'm at Elizabeth, with a Z, Elizabeth-Kipp.com. You got to put the hyphen in between my first and last name to get to me, because ElizabethKipp.com is a web designer and a photographer who's amazing, but she's not me. Elizabeth-Kipp.com. You'll find me. There's lots of free resources on the website. My social media is there. You can contact me there. I'd love to be in touch.
And you do one-to-one as well online?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can book a session, pick a page on there's a book a session button on every page of the website.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Please come back again. It would be so lovely.
It would be my honor. Thank you so much.
Oh, the honor's all mine. Thank you, Elizabeth. And for all of you out there, take another listen to that wonderful, wonderful prayer that Elizabeth did, because it really is life-changing. And for you, Elizabeth, I wish you a wonderful day, because it's still day there, isn't it, in Kansas?
It certainly is. And have a good evening.
Thank you so much. Look after yourself. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye now.
Bye. Bye. Elizabeth Kipp. What an absolutely wonderful lady. Amazing what people really have been sent to do on this earth to help others. Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's an absolute pleasure to have you all as listeners and sharing precious moments with my guests and myself and you out there. Until next time, enjoy, take care, and lots of love.
Thank you for listening to Secrets for an Inspirational Life, brought to you by your host, Mimi Novick. Please remember to subscribe to the podcast and see you in the next episode. For more information about Mimi Novick and her books, music, and inspirational work, take a look at her website, www.miminovick.co.uk.